Are you ready to explore a new way of looking at yourself and your life, to move past transition into transformation? I'm Pamela Hale, and Through a Different Lens Coaching is for people who want to make a difference. We provide powerful, practical tools for accelerated progress. Become the pilot of your own life and spread your wings, soar, and thrive. Visit throughadifferentlens.com or call 520-825-5463. Through a Different Lens, see a new path of possibility.
Well, welcome again on Circles of Change. It's always a pleasure. In studio guests and my broadcast partner, Pam Hale from ThroughADifferentLens.com. How are you this morning?
I'm well. I'm so glad to be back.
Terrific. Well, we've been on quite a roll. For our listeners who aren't familiar with Pamela's work, she wrote a wonderful book that we've been featuring once a month here on the show. It's called Flying Lessons, How to Be the Pilot of Your Own Life. And, of course, Pamela, it isn't just the metaphor of flying, but also the real live experience, which you enjoyed getting a pilot's license in later life.
This is true. It was a very, very challenging effort for me, and I learned a whole lot from it.
That's right, between that and other life experiences to help shape these life lessons. For those of you who are interested, you can go out on the LarsonGroup.com or also on Pamela's site, ThroughADifferentLens.com, and see the previous podcast we've done today. We're up to lesson 6 of number 7, so just set the stage. Number 1 was know where you're going to land. Number 2, bring enough fuel for the journey. 3, take the pilot's seat. 4, remember why you long to fly. 5, communicate with the controllers. And number 6 today, broaden your scan. So what do you mean by that, Pam?
Well, before I go into what I mean by it, I just invite listeners to think about some challenge that you're encountering in your life right now. And as Zara and I talk about this lesson, just try framing it with this lesson. And so you might just start, think, what does that mean to you? Broaden your scan. I'll just talk about it in aviation terms first.
Please.
So the scan is a very important skill to learn, because obviously you need to be looking out the window. And a good way to picture this is just to think of having learned to drive a car. So you obviously need to be looking out the window most of the time. But you've developed a scan of occasionally looking down at your fuel gauge,
mm-hmm.
or maybe your temperature gauge, or maybe other things, maybe just to make sure a light didn't go on. So you're also developing a scan because you're also used to be able to glance at the side of the road to see if you're where you think you are, to look up at a street sign, to look maybe at a glance at the person next to you, to look at the radio dial. We're pretty good.
Well, and also, of course, you've got all the non-visual things as well, the sound of the engine, the outside noise of the car, sometimes the inside noise of the vehicle, that can easily sometimes distract us, though, and you have to juggle all these at the same time.
That's right. But when you think about all that we do, the ways in which we do multitask, if you want to call it that, but all the different sensory information that we're always taking in as we're driving a car, it's pretty amazing that we can do that. So when you're flying an airplane, of course, some are added, because in my case, there's the newness of it. And then there's the fact that you're up in the sky. So I call it a four-dimensional experience.
Ooh, boy.
Because you're not only having to look out the window, you're really having to develop a scan that takes in the gauges inside. And as a student, it's very hard not to fixate on these, which is where the phrase broaden your scan comes from, because my flight instructor, Cleo, kept saying, Pam, broaden your scan. When I'm saying, I don't see the airport, broaden your scan, because I'm staring down at the place where I think the airport is. And when she says, broaden your scan, and I still don't move, she says, Pam, move your head. And I move my head, and there it is. And so maybe you can already see how, with whatever challenge is facing you in your life, there's usually fear attached to challenges. Mm-hmm. And the ancient response to fear is to narrow
your scan. Yeah.
So we don't want to do that. And fortunately, we're very trainable, which Cleo kept telling me that I was trainable. And so in spite of that ancient response to narrow our vision, we can learn to develop a scan in order to take in many levels of information and become better skilled and balanced problem solvers.
Well, and it has to involve also not just taking in, but it's also shielding out the things that could otherwise confuse you.
Exactly. So we as pilots of airplanes or pilots of life have to decide what it is that we're going to let in. So you're right. If the radio is on and there's static on it, Cleo would say to me, how's the listening environment for you? Don't you think you ought to clean up the cockpit so that you can focus on the things that are relevant?
So this whole experience that you went through with Cleo, I mean, obviously that one is a pretty good example of saying, you know, Pam, broaden your scan. The airport is out there. But another story that brought this really to light for you?
Yes. So part of getting your pilot's license, of course, a big part, is involving all kinds of emergency procedures to make sure that you're really safe out there on your own. And, of course, one of the dangers pilots face is that you may be doing a perfectly good job of navigating, but you may get caught in bad weather.
Right.
And weather, of course, is always changing, so you may not be able to see that weather is closing in around you, and then all of a sudden you're caught in the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
So even though just getting my basic pilot's license did not involve instrument training, I had to do some elementary introductory instrument training that really was intended just to make sure that if I got caught in that cloud, I could get out and I wouldn't panic because there'd be skills available. So the way they do this is Cleo would take me up and she would take out a cone made of cardboard that reminded me of a Ku Klux Klan hood or something.
Right.
And she would put this over my head.
Oh, dear.
And now I've got a cone, a big cone hat that comes down over my face. And it has an opening in the front that's big enough for me to see the gauges on the panel. But I cannot see anything out of the window. So just to back up a little bit. Prior to that, the mantra that she was always saying to me is, fly outside the plane. Fly outside the plane means look out the window, because that's where the action is. So just as if you were driving a car and you were fixating on one of the gauges inside, or fixating on the radio, or texting while you're driving, or any of those things
you shouldn't do,
would be inside, inside the plane, you could get in big trouble very quickly. So it was always fly outside the plane. Well, now I couldn't fly outside the plane. Can't see. And this is what would happen if there are clouds. So in this training, I had to totally switch the way I was processing information from processing with my senses, particularly my visual sense, but more on that in a minute, to processing just by the numbers, by the gauges, by what the gauges readout is. So what often happens is that your brain gets very confused when you suddenly switch the way you're processing, and often vertigo results.
Mm-hmm.
So now you not only cannot trust your visual sense, you can't trust your physical sense, because you really may feel like you've got to tilt the wings to the left. But when you look at the little instrument that shows the wings in relationship to the horizon, they show that you're level. Well, you got to believe the instrument now instead of your senses. So this was quite the adventure. And just to the height of that test, if you can imagine this, is that one day she said, okay, here's the final test for this part of getting your license. I'm going to put the plane into what we call an unusual attitude while you have your hood on, and then your job will be to recover
bring it out.
And know where you're going and resume flying back toward the airport. So I have the hood on, and I can feel that she's doing steep turns to the left, steep turns to the right. She's turning around, and I'm starting to get dizzy, and I have no idea where we are now. I know we've either gone up or down. I can't even tell anymore. So she says, take the hood off, your airplane. Take the hood off, and one of the face of the Catalina Mountains is right in front of me, filling up the screen, and it doesn't look familiar. And I've been doing a lot of flying right up by the Catalinas, so I have no idea where I am, and I just can't explain why this. For one thing, I can see right away that we're higher than I usually am, so that's part of it. But when I look at the face of the mountains, nothing's familiar. And she says, broaden your scan. And I'm looking around, and I still can't tell where the heck we are. She says, broaden your scan to the instruments.
There you go.
The compass. I look at the compass, and we're going north. Well, we're never going north, because we usually go north to practice, and I'm coming south or east toward the mountains. So she has taken me down to the southern end of the Catalinas, because we're way up in Oro Valley, and taken me way up so that I'm staring at the face of the mountain on the southern tip, and it just doesn't look right. So once I got my brain to match my visual picture, I was set. I could navigate back home. So what does this make you think of in life?
Oh, absolutely. It tells you how many times we're reading the wrong instruments, I think, or we're jumping to conclusions, or there's a whole lot of externalities that have been going on that, whether it be ego, fear, lack of knowledge, we've not been mindful of.
Right. Right. Or something has just changed very, very quickly that's out of our control, like that weather. And it's an emergency because of that. And so we're kind of stopped in our tracks, where our usual way, if we're in a company, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Let's call a meeting. Let's all sit down and analyze. Let's brainstorm ideas.
And of course, we're maybe going to look at the bottom line, the numbers. So in my metaphor, I'm calling that the gauges. Because, of course, gauges can be faulty. Numbers can give a very limited picture. They're only part of the picture that we need to look at.
Right.
So in debriefing this experience, what this made me think of is that really in an airplane or in life, what we want to do is do what's counterintuitive. That is, what our intuition tells us to do is reduce the number of possibilities, because we're confused. And so we only want two choices or one choice, when really what we need to do here is be creative, be highly creative. And one of the definitions of creativity is expanding our notion of different alternatives or different solutions. So we want to expand. One of the examples I give in the book is another one of just being out hiking and getting lost. And I couldn't figure out how I could be lost, because I'd been following the stream. And I'd followed the stream way up, and I was following it back, and now I knew I was not in the right place. Well, what had happened is I had followed a fork.
Ah, yeah, not the main.
So because I was following the water, I just kept fixating on the fact, but I'm following the water. I'm following the water. And it wasn't till I sat down, cried a little bit, and then said, what could be going on here? What are the different things that could be going on here? And then it occurred to me that maybe the stream had forked off, and I walked back and saw what had happened.
But, you know, Pam, quite often, I mean, I think of us parents guiding young people, or actually anyone, and quite often your natural tendency when people start getting confused is indeed immediately this voice says, whoop, you're offering them too many choices. You better narrow it down. Make it a little bit simpler. That's okay, though, provided you've already gone through some kind of process that allows the creative opportunities of the unexpected choices, because those might be the right ones. That's what you're advising us.
That's right. Yeah, because you're right that, of course, we want to eventually simplify things so that we aren't just totally overwhelmed. But at the same time, you know, I bring up again Captain Sully Sullenberger in this chapter, because you may remember he's the one who landed the United plane in the Hudson River.
When all the dials and everything else told him to do something different.
Well, and the controllers,
and so
the controllers who are guiding him in say, you've got to try to make it to the airport. And so he's got to take in all the information. He's looking at how high he is. He's looking at how he's listening to how the engine sounds to him. He's looking at what the gauges are doing, and they are not sitting in the cockpit. And so he says to them, cannot comply. I'm landing it in the water. And they were horrified. But he's the one who has to expand way out of the box, in this case, way out of the box, to say, I'm going to put it in the water.
And so, Pam, as you work with your clients, because you walk them through these lessons through various workshops as well as one-on-ones, what kind of, you know, individual experiences can you recall about this broadening your scan from a client experience that might be helpful?
Well, the example that I give in the book is about a woman who came to me because she was unhappy at work. And she was a highly skilled corporate leader. But for various reasons, kind of getting burned out and so forth, she could feel herself getting more rigid, getting more bottom line, getting grouchier, getting
stressed out, can't sleep, back aches, I know the list.
Yes, all those things. And, you know, bottom line, she wanted to be happy. But she also was getting some feedback from people about this change in her, and she didn't like what she saw in the mirror. And so what we did was really realize that, in this case, the metaphor gets a little hard to follow, but stick with me, that she needed to do work on her internal instruments.
I was going to say, we're going to go inside the black box.
We're going to go inside the internal instruments. Well, what are our internal instruments? I think of them, a lot of them starting with the letter I. They're intuition, their imagination, their instinct. So some of the things that are often placed way down the list, if you've been brought up to be very rational, or if you happen to work in a setting that's hyper-rational, maybe you don't think these things are that important. But in fact, what I did, and I can't quote all the facts, but we all know that many animals in our universe, on our Earth, have given us gorgeous examples of what instinct can do. Geese who fly from thousands of miles to migrate. Whales who swim from Alaska down to Mexico.
And back.
Every year, yes, at the right time to mate and then back again to give birth, and then wait until the baby is just the right age that it can make the trip back and go back. In spite of all the things we do to the shoreline, they still can find their way so far. So we know that in our DNA, in the DNA that is passed on to us, are such abilities. Where are those? We have buried these. But it doesn't mean that we can't retrieve them. They're there. But like anything, they need practice. And we tend to give our rational, strategic mind lots of practice in our lives and work, and these I words not as much practice.
Or we will go and exploit that in our after-hours life, or what we do on the weekends, or how we explore cooking or artwork or playing music or our volunteer work, but not necessarily in the job area. For those of you just tuned in, we're speaking with Pam Hale. She's author of the book Flying Lessons, which is truly an inspirational manual for leading, living, and loving. She calls it How to Be the Pilot of Your Own Life. We're in the midst of conversation of lesson number 6 of 7 about broadening your scan. So, Pam, that idea then of looking inside the wiring and knowing you might need to upgrade a few components, you know, while you still keep flying, though, there's that simultaneity about it, right? How I can change the tires on the race car while I'm still going around the track, in other words, in my automotive lingo.
Yes, yes, that's tricky. And so to make that possible, I think we have to practice them maybe separately first, given the fact that I think we're very well, way overbalanced onto the strategic, rational side. We need to practice our intuitive powers, practice our instinctive, practice our imagination so that we have what we call emotional intelligence. And then it becomes a habit to bring that to bear. And Many examples come to mind here. We can think of so many corporations and systems that have just been destroyed because no one in the boardroom said something like, does what we're about to do feel right to everyone in this room?
Does it really make sense?
Of course, feel is not the word that you're supposed to use in that setting, but history could have been changed many times if it had been.
And for listeners who that are involved in project teams, regardless of what level you are in the organization, are we listening to the voice that says, wait a minute, are we sure this is the right thing to do? I mean, that whole power of everybody just keeping moving to Abilene as opposed to saying, wait a minute, let's pull back. And, you know, are we imagining and playing to the right place?
Right. And so, and then maybe we also, when we have a problem, need to just not just look at the story level of what happened, but this is just the surface of the water, to look what's beneath the surface here. Now I'm really mixing up a lot of metaphors for you. What's going on beneath the surface here? So, so I think of when my husband and I were flying into St. John's, Arizona, and we to get gas, and all of a sudden our gas gauges were just falling, and we thought we might have a leak, and could we make it in? And it was a little dicey there, but my husband is very good at expanding and broadening his scan, and so it was by eliminating different possibilities and watching the gauges in that case and thinking about it that he discovered we probably had an electrical problem, and that's why the gauges were falling.
So, and the and the gauges were doing something, so they were giving you miscues.
Right.
Well, I think that's part of the opportunity when we look, whether it be how we manage business opportunities or not-for-profit opportunities, the idea of mixing young, bright individuals with those more wise and seasoned, like the Sullys, who really knew how to fly, not based on all the electronic gaming that he did over his life, but actually, you know, having done a variety of different elements of flight.
That's
right.
That
you've got the instinct, the intuition, the imagination, but also the experience, the E word,
to
come to play.
It's like the difference between technique and art. So, you know, you can learn the techniques of flying or of leading or leading your life, of parenting, of, you know, whatever it is you're doing. And then we know that with a lot of practice, there's a wisdom that starts to emerge that feels like art. Now you're getting the refinement. Now you're doing a beautiful landing. Now you're doing a beautiful recovery from a challenging situation, instead of just muddling your way through by trying to use technique.
Although it's a natural tendency to just think that we're reassured by knowing the techniques or knowing the skills, and that there's some good, a lot of good actually comes through muddling, but so long as you have that framework, you can operate it.
Yes. So the other thing I think that comes to play here is a kind of confidence that comes from that wisdom.
Right.
So that there's a section in my book that called, in this chapter, You Know More Than You Think You Do, where Cleo started pasting little round stickers over all the gauges because she thought I was relying on them too much.
Too much now.
And I could fly by the seat of my pants better than I thought, and so I'll bet can you.
Yes, and I think that many times when we're deep into problem solving, that's one of the healthiest things you can do, is step back and not necessarily be so wedded to all the thought trees and analysis and opportunities and say, wait a minute, let's step back. Are we even working in the same quadrant? Could be an aisle man or broaden the scan, turn to the right.
Right.
Well, that's great. Well, Pamela, thank you so much. Again, for our listeners, you want to go visit Through a Different Lens, lens.com. And Pamela's book is Flying Lessons, How to Be the Pilot of Your Own Life. Of course, this is number 6 of number 7. So we've got one lesson left. And what's that going to be?
The last one is Give Way to the Winds.
Aha. So that I know what that one's going to be about. I suspect you're going to not be able to fight it, but you're going to learn how to capitalize on them.
That's right.
Very
I look
good.
Forward to it.
Thank you very much, Pam, for joining us, and we'll catch you next month.
All right.
Be well.
Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays 10 to noon right here on 104.1 The Truth for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.